Good evening. I will be reading poems from The Violent Foam, which is a book that was translated by poet and writer George Evans, who is also my husband. He's sitting here. And I will be reading a few from a new book that was published in Spain some months ago. It's called La Violenta Espuma, but it's a different book from The Violent Poem. And also I will be reading some unpublished poems, and some of them written in English. So when I read my English poems that I wrote in English, I will let you know, okay, that they are not translations. So I start with when I see them passing by. I'm going to read the poem in Spanish first to clear my voice. Cuando las veo pasar alguna vez me digo, ¿qué sentirán ellas, las que decidieron ser perfectas, conservar a toda costa sus matrimonios, no importa cómo les haya resultado el marido, parrandero, mujeriego, jugador, pendenciero, gritón, violento, penqueador, lunático, raro, algo anormal, neurótico, temático, de plano insoportable, dundeco, mortalmente aburrido, bruto, insensible, desasiado, ególatra, ambicioso, desleal, politiquero, ladrón, traidor, mentiroso, violador de las hijas, verdugo de los hijos, emperador de la casa, tirano en todas partes. Pero ellas se aguantaron y solo Dios, que está allá arriba, sabe lo que sufrieron. Cuando las veo pasar tan dignas y envejecidas, los hijos y las hijas ya se han ido. En la casa solo ellas han quedado con ese hombre que alguna vez quisieron. Tal vez ya se calmó, no bebe, apenas habla, se mantiene sentado frente al televisor, anda en chancletas, bosteza, se duerme, ronca, se levanta temprano, está achacoso, cegato, inofensivo, casi niño, me pregunto. ¿Se atreverán a imaginarse viudas, a soñar alguna noche que son libres y que vuelven por fin sin culpas a la vida? This is George's translation. I owe him because these are very strong poems. When I see them passing by, when I see them passing by, I ask myself sometimes, what must they feel, the ones who decided to be perfect and keep their marriages afloat against all odds, no matter how their husbands turn out? Party animal, womanizer, gambler, troublemaker, loud-mouthed, violent, headbanger, lunatic, weirdo, slightly abnormal, neurotic, obsessive, clearly unbearable, dumbbell, deadly boring, brute, insensitive, grubby, egomaniacal, ambitious, disloyal, politicker, crook, traitor, liar, rapist of daughters, torturer of sons, emperor of the house, tyrant everywhere. But they put up with it, and God only knows what they suffer. When I see them passing by, so dignified and aged, their sons and daughters gone from the house, leaving them alone with a man they once loved. Perhaps he's calmed down, doesn't drink, hardly talks, spends his time with TV, walks in slippers, yawns, falls asleep, snores, wakes up early, is ailing, harmless, almost childish. I ask myself, Do they dare imagine themselves widows, dreaming someday, dreaming some night they are free and coming at last without guilt back to life? This is a translation. I will read the translation. To a lady who laments the harshness of my verses. I actually wrote this to a lady that said that she was not coming back to my readings. So, it's just that when I go out, the first thing I see is a drifter digging through the garbage. Sometimes a mad woman is resting her misery in the shade in front of my house, and the void of her insomniac eyes casts a pall on the morning light. Street corners and street lights overwhelm with people selling everything. Swarming children throw themselves at the cars to wash them for a peso, an insult, a punch. Teenagers offer their only possessions, their bodies. Street people, beggars, drug addicts. The whole city is a hungry, begging hand. Yours is a beautiful world. Luxuriant groves, tennis courts, swimming pools where lovely adolescents frolic. In late afternoon, uniform nannies promenade blonde angels in strollers. Your husband is an important functionary. Your family can vacation in New York or Paris, and in this country, you are just passing through. You lament my coarse visions. You prefer them gentle, like the dainty cakes and bonbons you eat. Sorry, I can't please you. Here, with stones. From each one life. From each one life extracts a true face. I'm not talking about cheekbones, perfect noses, eyebrows, eyes, wrinkled foreheads, sagging cheeks or eyelids, but of something impossible to hide or fix with surgery or makeup. I'm talking about the misery and horror, meanness and joy, the cruelty or compassion we see without warning on someone else's face, surprisingly our own. Faithful housewife. Everything ended with the honeymoon. Orange blossoms, love letters, the childish weeping. Now you crawl at your master's feet. Number one in his harem, taken or abandoned at whim, mother of children with his last name, airing your abandonment near a clothesline of diapers, wringing out your heart until it's spotless among white clothes. Accustomed to shouting and the humiliation of a servile hand held out for offerings, cornered woman, whining shadow with migraines, varicose veins, diabetes. Girl kept in a case who married her first boyfriend and grew old, listening to the distant bustle of life from her place of wifely honor. Now, this is a very short poem that is a prescription
and I offer it for free to whoever needs it. Not acupuncture, not herbal teas, not antidepressives, not injections, lady. The only cure for a headache is to leave your husband. Now, he translated it, George translated it, and we laughed when we were translating. We had a lot of fun, right? Yeah. This is dedicated to my young audience. I hope you still know about the classic fairy tales, right? Mm-hmm. Now that you watch all these video games, but I guess you know about fairy tales, right? Okay, so that's the name of the poem. Snow White refused to be a servant for the dwarves and was not allowed into their little house. Cinderella sued her stepmother for abuse. I won't go into the woods without a shotgun, said Little Red Riding Hood, after the wolf followed her the first time. And her grandmother never opened the door without first looking out. Donkey Skin dared to denounce her father's incest. The little mermaid did not die of love and had no illusions that a prince would marry her. When Beauty met the Beast, she loved him the way he was, without expecting miracles. Goldilocks didn't even dare taste the porridge. The bears would have eaten her immediately. The pea princess refused to sleep on so many mattresses and screamed that if they doubted her lineage, they could all go to hell. Alice never traveled to Wonderland, and Sleeping Beauty fell asleep bored because she was never allowed to do what she wanted. These are the tales, my daughter. Life will make sure you know them. This is a great translation also. It is of an ironing woman who is a this is a job that many poor women in Latin America have, you know, to iron clothes for other people. And I dedicate this poem to some friends that are here who know about that. They are from Nicaragua and Venezuela. So, Otilia, ironing woman. Otilia sprinkles clothes to the rhythm of Sonora Matancera, rolls and puts them into big aluminum tubs and enamel wash bowls. And I don't know if she dances or irons to the rhythmical song. The earrings the moon is missing, Otilia was wearing them at the workers' club dance. She had a boyfriend with a little mustache. Otilia, luscious and aloof, dance and dance in her tight dress until her powdered armpits were darkened. In the back cottage, tobacco warehouse, ironing room, shelter of cool night air that refreshes summer evenings, Otilia puts her iron away. She dreams that Bienvenido Granda and Celio Gonzalez sing Novia Mia just for her while she sprinkles her face with tears. I I will read another poem of these characters that I, of everyday life. This is called The Waitress. It's from a series of waitresses. This is the second one. How could I ever believe my looks would do me any good? Dark and slender, tons of customers from Managua and Los Pueblos came here just for me, not to mention all those from right here in Masaya. They pat my ass, and I had many offers to choose from. Honey was the least they called me. But of course, I remember you, Castillito. When you went to study in Mexico, I always asked your friends how you were. See what having kids does. Fat, tired, varicose veins. I'm not even that old, but that's life, eh? Most beautiful waitress of the mini red 16 saloon, and look what good it did me. Well, my audience here is very young, so I'm not sure if this is still the case for all of you, but in Latin America it is. It is a poem called Urgent Message to My Mother. Those of you that who come from a Latino tradition, it might have some, it might resound to you. It has a quotation from Gabriela Mistral's poem that says, "We were all going to be queens and truly reign, but no one has been a queen, neither in Arauco nor Copan." This is the quotation by Mistral. "We were educated for perfection, so nothing will fail and we'd achieve our storybook princess fate. How hard we try, eager to prove those hopes treasured so long were true. But our wedding gowns grew old and our hearts exhausted, last survivors of the battle. We've tossed yellow veils and withered orange blossoms to the back of ancient armoires. We will never again be submissive or perfect. Sorry, mother, for the impertinence of those stuck-up old hands who know only how to clock with praise for bland, docile daughters. Sorry for not staying where tradition and good taste oblige us to stay, for daring to be ourselves at the cost of destroying all your dreams." Now I will switch to to a series of new poems that I have been writing lately. In my country, in Nicaragua, we are going through a terrible situation with a dictatorship, with some with terrible killings of massacres of people. So this poem has to do with the celebration of the 39th anniversary of the revolution that triumphed in Nicaragua 39 years ago, and that the dictator that is now ruling the country pretends or try to sell to the world that the revolution is still going on. "39th anniversary celebration, Sandinista revolution." I will read it in Spanish first. I need to go to Spanish once in a while. "No hay nada que celebrar. El dictador y su mujer lo saben, pero han llegado a la plaza. Suben a la tarima enflorada. Debajo hay una montaña de cadáveres. Debajo hay heridos y lisiados.
debajo hay llanto. Saben que no hay nada que celebrar más que la muerte que infiltra su hedor inconfundible entre las flores.
There is nothing to celebrate. The dictator and his wife know it, but they have just reached the plaza. They are on the flower-laden stage. Beneath it, a mountain of corpses. Beneath it, the wounded and crippled. Beneath it, wailing. They know there is nothing to celebrate except death. Its unmistakable stench permeating the flowers. This is a wrote to a friend, message to Marta. The afternoon intrudes through the curtains and puts a golden knife on my arm. I've been wanting to write to you for a while, friend. I haven't seen you lately, but I don't know what to say. I am so sad. I hope it's true the tyrant lives. He can take whatever he wants. It doesn't matter. If he lives forever with his family, there won't be enough days in the year for singing. And this is the last one that I will read of this series for Nicaragua. And it's called Nicaragua. Esta llaga abierta en mi costado tiene un nombre que no debo decir. Si lo olvidara, mi herida sanaría y por eso lo callo. Pero dormida en sueños, sin quererlo, a veces lo pronuncio. Nicaragua. This open wound in my side has a name I shouldn't say. If I forgot it, it will heal. And that's why I keep it quiet. But asleep in dreams without wanting to, I sometimes say it. I will read a few poems about San Francisco. I have been writing poems in English and Spanish. This is The Immigrant, a translation by George, written in Spanish, the original. The Immigrant. She wakes up feeling odd in a strange room. Where is the father and the mother who just a moment ago were with her? Where are the words of the conversation and the fragrant courtyard after the downpour? She gets up and sighs. This foreign room and the indifferent light of any morning hurts her. From the street come the noises of life, and the dream is left crumpled like a handkerchief. This I wrote in English. The drunken girl. There she is, leaving the store. A pale, overcast sky, the color of her face. Dark clouds, gray horizon, traces of beauty still in her face. This young one, hollow eyes in a void, crossing 19th Avenue in morning air, clenching a brown bag and the world inside it to dive in, eclipse like a moon on the darkest night. This is a translation by George. Streetcar, San Francisco. A black guy shakes an empty potato chip can, begging for coins. Another guy seeks conversation from his wheelchair. Patrick, my name is Patrick, and I'm Mary, says a poor fat girl with curly hair. A Chinese woman clutching her bag of onions with resignation. An old philosopher engrossed in Kant. A skinhead gay with earrings and blue sunglasses. A happy secretary, withered puppy, with her reward for 30 years service to a bank, a cheap ring and some flowers. A young woman executive observes her with scorn. A tired bureaucrat naps. Each one a soul adrift in this aimless voyage that suddenly ends. So I guess many of you will be identified with this little poem. I will only read the translation. The Landlord's Son, 19th Street, The Mission, San Francisco. The similarity is undeniable. The demeanor, the manner, the colorless skin. The women of sinister beauty who accompany him. The stained incisors and the fetid breath of blood. This is originally in English. A Diego Rivera on Valencia Street. She enters, I guess all of you know who Diego Rivera is, right? And her and his beautiful paintings of these flower vendors or flower women. She enters preceded by the fragrance of roses, lilies of the valley, and carnations. No one pays attention. An infernal buzzing of voices and music goes on and on and on, blasting our heads out like a pile of bricks. Smoke so dense, everything is gray and blurry. But spring erupts suddenly from her basket. An explosion of greens, vermilions, yellows, magentas, orange, and indigo. A whole rainbow springing from her head, blooming on top of her tightly braided obsidian hair as she walks among the oblivious crowd of the amnesia bar. I wrote this poem when there was news in the newspaper about a great dinner that the mayor of San Francisco was having, which included salmon with sprinkled with gold dust. So, and there was another news in the newspaper that was this one I am talking about in the poem. This was written in English too. Salvadoran woman killed on Fillmore Street. She ran as fast as she could. She shouted into the void, "Oh God!" She worked so hard that day, tightly held her purse against her breast, then fell in a pool of blood. Afterwards, the kids told the police, "We didn't want to stab her. We were just desperate. We only wanted her money, but she screamed so hard. She scared the hell out. She really scared the hell out of us." Her children were devastated. Their only support, she worked double shifts that day, had 40 bucks in her purse. They were waiting for her on the way to the grocery store. It was New Year's Eve, end of the millennium. The newspaper also published the menu of the dinner the mayor of San Francisco was giving that night. Of the many delicacies listed was wild salmon fillets sprinkled with genuine gold dust. And this was written in English too, and it's about San Francisco. We see that there are a lot of crows here, right? I have several poems about the birds of San Francisco, seagulls, crows. Onyx dinosaur. How did I get here? The crow must be thinking, I guess. While he walks the sidewalk, remembering when he was a dinosaur. I was so huge and powerful, I could crush those people if I wanted, and looks at us sideways, at his trots off with the haughty demeanor of a shining king reduced to pecking French fries from the gutter. Okay. So, this is a poem I wrote to my father and to a friend who died in exile. And it is also for all the people that who dies away from their homeland, either because they are exiled or they are sent to fight wars for the powerful, you know. So, in Spanish, it's called Muerte Extranjera. Death abroad. What lit landscapes, what waters, what lush greens, what kite flying loose against the sun in a blue morning journey. What furious storm, what distant summer dazzling with waves and salt air, what dark tree-lined streets, what cool intimacy of a garden, what evenings. Which moon among moons, which night of definitive love under the splendor of stars. What voices, what murmuring laughter and footsteps, what faces grown distant, what familiar streets, what blissful daybreak in a half-lit room, what books, what songs, what final nostalgia, what last vision illuminated your sight when death lowered your eyelids in that strange land. And this last poem, I will read it in Spanish and English. And it's called To Be a Woman. I dedicate it to all the women in this room. and also to all men. So that they know what is to be a woman, right? ser mujer. Haber nacido mujer significa poner tu cuerpo al servicio de otros, dar tu tiempo a otros, pensar solo en función de otros. Haber nacido mujer significa que tu cuerpo no te pertenece, que tu tiempo no te pertenece, que tus pensamientos no te pertenecen. Nacer mujer es nacer al vacío. Si no fuera porque tu cuerpo albergue asegura la continuidad de los hombres, bien pudieras no haber nacido. Nacer mujer es venir a la nada, a la vida deshabitada de ti misma, en la que todos los demás, no tu corazón, deciden o disponen. Nacer mujer es estar en el fondo del pozo, del abismo, del foso que rodea a la ciudad amurallada, habitada por ellos, solo por ellos, a los que tendrás que encantar, que engañar, servir, venderte, halagarlos, humillarte, rebelarte, nadar a contracorriente, pelear, gritar, gritar, gritar hasta partir las piedras, atravesar las grietas, botar el puente levadizo, desmoronar los muros, ascender el foso, saltar sobre el abismo, lanzarte sin alas a salvar el precipicio, impulsada por tu propio corazón, sostenida por tus propios pensamientos, hasta librarte del horror al vacío que tendrás que vencer solo con tu voz y tu palabra. To be born a woman means putting your body at the service of others, giving your time to others, thinking only in terms of others. To be born a woman means that you don't own your own body, you don't own your own time. You don't own your thoughts. Being born a woman means being born in a void. If your body's shelter didn't guarantee the propagation of men, you might as well not have been born. To be born a woman is to come to nothing, a life devoid of yourself, where everyone else, not your heart, decides or stipulates. To be born a woman is to be at the bottom of the well, the abyss, the moat around the walled city inhabited by them, only by them, who you'll have to charm, fool, serve, sell out to, flatter, humiliate yourself for, rebel against, swim against the current of, fight, shout, shout, shout until you split the stones, escape through the cracks, knock down the drawbridge, destroy the walls, get over the moat, jump the abyss, throw yourself wingless across the precipice, driven by your own heart, supported by your own thoughts, until you're freed from the horror of the void you will only defeat with your voice and your word. Thank you so much.